حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل نعم المولى ونعم النصير أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا ومولانا أبو القاسم محمد وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين أما بعد The existence of the example of Hazrat Fatima Az-Zahra Salamullah Alayha and its need and necessity in the propagation of Islam and its effect on us as believers and the Muslim nation as a whole and for all of mankind. Is the subject that we have been speaking regarding. If you look at the atmosphere and environment regarding Islam, especially today, and this is why I've said that the example of this Bibi is necessary today more than any other time before. If you look at the environment that's happening and the misrepresentation and the lies that have been spread about Islam, and the fear-mongering that has been done regarding the teachings of Islam. So much propaganda has been done in misinterpreting Islam and portraying it as a rigid, non-flexible, obstinate, heartless religion that obviously by using or misusing or misconstruing the early wars of Islam and showing Islam as a violent religion in many ways that has been done, that now, in order to even try to explain Islam, even in trying to inform others of Islam, the required or the desired effects are not found. Even when we are trying to explain Islam, you see that it's not having the desired effects that we want, because the environment has been poisoned in such a way that even if you try to explain it, it will look incorrect or it will look different than what you are trying to say and what is being understood. Now, lies have been spread about Islam. Ayat of the Quran has been misinterpreted and misused and propagated in the wrong way. For example, the ayat of the sword, as it's mentioned, these are verses where, for example, Allah had spoken about the kuffar of Makkah who used to torture innocent Muslims and innocent people. And Allah had spoken about them and said, wherever you find them, you go and slay them and kill them. So now they're using and saying that, you see, Islam is so violent that anyone who is not a Muslim, then you go out and you kill them. Again, these verses have been misused, misinterpreted. Otherwise, the principle of Islam's dealing with non-Muslims has been mentioned in Surah Kafirun. The whole chapter was revealed to put forth a principle of Islam and said that the way that you deal with non-Muslims is what? La a'budu ma ta'budun, wa la antum a'biduna ma a'bud, wa la ana a'bidu ma a'badtum, wa la antum a'biduna ma a'bud, lakum dinakum waliyadin. That you worship your God, we will worship our God. For you is your deen, for us is our religion. We don't interfere with you, you don't interfere with us. This is the principle of how you deal with non-Muslims. And then those verses that have been revealed about criminals, those who have tortured people, innocent people, and hence, for criminals, it's saying that you go out and get those criminals, because if you let them go, they will do more of those tortures. But you see that the way Islam has been misinterpreted, it has created an environment that even if you try to explain things, it will not have the desired effects that you want. And on the other hand, there are those deviated groups of Muslims, like the Wahhabis and their ilk, who would go forth and in their ignorance, act upon their ignorance, and hence those groups have been highlighted amongst all the other groups of Muslims. And have been projected that, you see, this is Islam. And the way that Islam has been portrayed, for example, a movie came out, and in that movie, they showed a picture or a film of Ayatollah Mishkini. Ayatollah Mishkini is one of our great ulama who had passed away. Now, Ayatollah Mishkini, when you look at him, and then right after him, they show another pseudo-Wahhabi scholar who's speaking and saying, you know, that we should kill everyone out there, anyone who is out there opposing Islam or non-Muslim, we should kill them all. And they show Ayatollah Mishkini's picture and his film at the same time. Now what does he have to do with him? Where is Ayatollah Mishkini? When did he ever say such things? When did he ever believe in such things? And what is this person? You see, this is all being done to, because obviously they are using these things to mold the minds of people against Islam and create that Islam that looks so violent and so rigid that now when you even try to explain Islam, you see that you will not have the desired effects. Even if you want to talk about it, you will see it won't be understood in the right way. So now, what are we to do in this situation? If we try to, for example, when we speak of jihad, the concept of jihad, the principle of jihad, when we try to speak about jihad in a logical way, it doesn't work. Because the environment has been poisoned so much, Islamophobia has been so much perpetrated in the minds of the world, that now even if you try to explain it logically, it will sound negative. Now obviously, we can't reject it. We can't deny it. There are some people, you know, who want to apologize and say that, no, there's no such thing as jihad in Islam. Or we don't have such a thing or something like that. We can't do that. It is a part. But now how are you going to give that and show them what it means, to show them in a way that they will understand it, that they can see it, with all the negative propaganda that has been done against Islam? So now with all of that negative propaganda that has been done, any example that if you want to take the example of the justice of Imam Ali, which is a great example, how he established justice. Now, if you want to bring about the justice of Imam Ali, you see that today's world will not accept it the way that you are trying to explain it to them. It won't go with them because the environment has been poisoned. Now, you can't use Imam Ali, you can't use Imam Hussein, you can't use anyone in order to give an example of Islam. So now you see, my friends, in an environment like this, where the whole of Islam has been put under this negative view, in an environment like this, now to explain Islam, Allah has kept a secret, in confidential secret, for hundreds of years, for 1400 years, you see that the example and the jihad and the struggle of Fatima has been kept a secret just for this day today. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Today in this world, you want to give the example of Islam. This is the ideal time today to give the example of Fatima. When they speak about jihad, speak about Fatima and Fatima's jihads. Now you see, that is an example that no one, no matter who they are, can look at that example and say that, wait a minute, this cannot be what we are speaking about. This cannot be what we have been told. This is different than what we are told. Give the example of Fatima. Every other example you give, they will find something that is going to go against it. Even if you give the example of Imam Hussein, which is an example of self-defense and not aggression, still they will say, well, he still used the sword. He still fought, and there were people who were killed. You see, again, that example would be there. But when you speak about Fatima's jihad, that is an example that they cannot find any excuse in to look at it negatively. Why is that? This is very important for us to understand. Why Fatima today is so important? Why her example is so important that we need to give out today, especially in the times that we are living in today? When you look at Fatima's example, you see she did jihad also. She rose up also. She stood up against wrong and injustice and oppression also. She fought for her imam also. She defended the imamate of Ali also. She did all the things that all the companions and the imams have done. When you look at the early history of Islam, the Prophet, Imam Ali, Imam Hassan, Imam Hussein, you look at all their examples and you look at Fatima's examples, and what you see, Fatima did all those things and she achieved more results. But the only difference being that there was no sword or weapon used by her. Hers was a jihad that no sword was used, no weapon was used. No violence was used. Nothing was used. She made a jihad. She made a standing. She made a defense of Islam that when anyone looks at it will see, hey, what is this? This is Islam that cannot be rigid. This is an Islam that cannot be violent. This is an Islam that cannot be inflexible. This is an Islam that cannot be hard-hearted and heartless. This is Fatima's jihad, my friends. What kind of jihad did she leave? And now see, again, it wasn't an emotional thing. We have this understanding that jihad has to be emotional and, you know. No, it wasn't an emotional thing, in spite that she had every right to be emotional. My friends, this example we hear about Bibi so much, but we need to look at it in a way that truly represents the struggle that she had. You know, she, when they came, you know, Fatima's, Ali is the imam of everyone. He's the imam of Fatima also. And when these people came to arrest Imam Ali, to handcuff him, they broke down his door and Fatima became a sacrifice between the door and the wall. Her child, Mohsin, injured in her pregnancy, and when that door crushed her, she fell down unconscious. And while she was unconscious, they arrested Ali, they handcuffed him, and they dragged him to the court in order to make bayat and give allegiance. You know, Fatima was unconscious. Now, she, you know, I mean, when a woman loses her child through such an injury, imagine the pain that she's going through. She fell unconscious with that pain that she had. And you know, when she got up from that unconsciousness, when she came about, what did she do? She couldn't even get up herself. She called for Asma and said, "Asma, help me get up." They said that she wants to go to bed, probably, you know, because she just was injured in such a way. Maybe she wants to go to bed. He said, "Where is Ali?" They said they arrested him, they took him. He said, "Asma, help me to get up. Get my chadar." She got the chadar. And then you know what? She said, "Now help me walk to the masjid, to the court. Where is Ali being held?" "In the court, in the masjid," he said. "Let's go there. We're going there." Friends, she just came out of unconsciousness. Imagine that. She has all the right to be emotional, all the right to be angry that her door, the door of her house was broken into. She was injured. Her child is lost because of that. They hurt her physically. She was hurt. They dragged her husband to the court and arrested him. He had all the right to be angry. But when Fatima knew that this is the time to defend the Imamat of Ali, this is the time to defend Islam. And when she came there, what should she do? And friends, this is where Fatima's true jihad is seen. Who is Fatima and the character of Fatima is seen. This is what the world needs to see. This is what they need to see. When she came to the court and she gave her khutbah and she established Islam. How? Not by emotions. It was such an intelligent and rational argumentation that such reasoning and such logic was not seen in the whole history of Islam other than in the sayings of Imam Jafar as-Sadiq alayhi salam. Really, that fiqh and understanding that Imam Sadiq taught his students and the world is the same teachings that Fatima showed in the court of the Khulafa. She showed in that court. She went there. She was hardly able to walk. But what was she saying? Emotional tantrums? No. Unreasonable shouting? No. Look at her, just the discussion she had. He said that, "I'm here for my right. Fadak is my right." I said, "Well, how is your right?" "Because the Prophet left it for me." So they said, "No. He cannot leave inheritance." "How do you say that?" You see, look at her. I mean, look at the situation she is in. And look at the way that she is reasoning with people to make them understand what is Islam. She's explaining fiqh here. She said, "How can you exclude the Prophet from the ayat of the Quran where it says that whatever you leave behind, leave it for your children?" "Oh," I said, you know, they brought out a hadith. You know, now where was that hadith? No one knew. You know, many hadiths, you know, here and there. Right? Where was the hadith? No one knew, but it was brought out, and it was said by the Khalifa that I heard the Prophet say. Now, where he heard him, no one knows, but he said he heard it. He says, "Nahnu ma'ashir al-anbiya lam nuris." We, anbiya and prophets, we do not leave inheritance. We don't leave inheritance. Imagine this, you know, he brought out a hadith. You see? And so, when he brought out that hadith, the hadith is very clear. It says that we, anbiya, do not leave inheritance. And so, when she heard that, she said, well, if that is the case, then why is the Quran saying that Sulaiman inherited from Dawood? Sulaiman inherited from Dawood. What about that? You know, either they're not anbiya or this is not inheritance that he's giving. In other words, if you have an ayat and a hadith and both contradict each other, then you have to let go of the hadith and take the ayat. He's establishing principles of fiqh here. In the minds of people, look at that. This is her jihad she's doing. And they looked at this. Again, she's trying to explain that if this is the case, then this should be the case. And then after that she said, well, this wasn't even an inheritance, this was a gift. A gift is not considered as an inheritance. It has nothing to do with that, what you're saying. So the mawdu, the subject, is out of the ruling that you are trying to fit it in. What is going on here? She's giving dars-e-kharij. She's teaching ijtihad to the people of the Muslims right after the death of the Prophet. Imagine what she's doing, my friends. You see, sometimes classroom is not the best place to teach students. You know, you teach them something in a class for so long, and you know, it goes from one ear out the other ear, or maybe it doesn't go out the other ear also, it goes somewhere else in the body except for the mind. Right? Sometimes a description, an event is needed to understand the principles of logic and fiqh. Fatima's teaching fiqh was so different that if any person who looks at it can understand what kind of a logical jurisdiction this is. What a logical jurisprudence this is. My friends, this was Fatima in all of that pain that she's in right now. She has just been injured. Her child has just been dropped. She just came out of unconsciousness and she goes there, and this is the reasoning she has with them. This is jihad of Fatima. Now tell me who would say that, oh, this is violent and this is rigid, this is hard-hearted and heartless and obstinate. This is Islam. This is jihad. Friends, this is where you see that it is necessary for us to bring forth the example of Fatima and say, this is the character of Islam. This is what Islam envisions. Then you see who will have an argument against that. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Fatima is an example, my friends. Fatima is a role model for whom? For us? You know, we hold on to Ahlul Bayt like as if, you know, only we have the right to them and no one else. You know, we have to understand. Listen to you, I mean, the book of Allah, Quran, right? It's our book, we believe in it. But did it come here just for us? Or to give the message of Allah to all of mankind? I mean, it came for all of mankind, right? For everyone it came. Not just us. You can't say, oh, it's our book, you know. This is what we say, our book is this, not yours. No, friends, this is the wrong attitude to have. We have. No, this is for you also. No matter what religion you are in, this is for you. This is a message that Allah has sent for you. You better read this message from your Creator. Read it. It's for everyone. Right? Quran is for everyone. Not just us. Yeah, it's another thing that we take advantage of it and others don't. Inshallah, we do. And we pray that we should take advantage of that. Otherwise, you know, just like the others are, if we treat the Quran just like others are treating it, then what's the use of that? Right? The only difference is that we take advantage of the Quran. So now, if the Quran is for everyone, we understood that then. If the Quran is for everyone, then this ayat of Muwaddat, قُلْ لَا أَسْأَلُكُمْ عَلَيْهِ أَجْرًا إِلَّا الْمُوَدَّةَ فِي الْقُرْبَى, that love the Ahlul Bayt. Is this ayat meant for just our salvation or for that it is a means of salvation for all of mankind? Understand this. What is this about? Is this just for our salvation or for all of mankind? We need to think about this. As a Muslim ummah, as she has been saying, who is this for? For us? No, Ahlul Bayt are for us and you know you have your own. No, Ahlul Bayt are for you also. It's just that you haven't built the premises of aqaid and beliefs to accept it yet. But it is a salvation for you also. So now, if that is a salvation for them, then my friends, then the love of Fatima, the example of Fatima is not just for us to hold on to. It is meant for all the world, all of mankind. They need to know about Fatima. Really, they need to know about Fatima. If they do not know about Fatima, then it's our job to tell them, do you know about Fatima? Let me tell you about Fatima. Islam has to be presented. The basis of Islam is love. If someone asks you, a non-Muslim asks you, tell me Islam in one sentence. You know, there'll always be those wise guys and people this and that and say, listen, I don't have time. I'll give you one sentence time. Just give me one sentence. One moment. Just tell me, Islam in one sentence, what is it? Right? So, obviously, if you're asked that question, don't be afraid. Because Imam Sadiq alayhi salam was also asked that question. Salawat alhamdulillah. He was also asked that question. He said, you know, explain Islam to me in one sentence. And whatever he replied should be our reply. Very easy. If anyone asks you Islam in one sentence, he says, Hal ad-din illa al-hub, is religion anything but then love? They ask you, what is Islam? They say, Islam is love. That's one sentence. That is it. Islam is love. This is what Islam is. My friends, we, now instead of trying to say, well, you know what, we believe there's one God and we believe that there's this many prophets, this many, this, and all these numbers, you know, all these, I'm not in algebra or calculus or whatever. Listen, just give me a simple answer. What is Islam? Islam is love. Islam is just the love of Allah and Ahlul Bayt. Love of Ahlul Bayt is the basis of Islam. You see, everything else is additional. Akhlaq, fiqh, and all these things are additional. The love of Ahlul Bayt. That is the basis. You see, my friends, understand, where did fiqh come from? Where did all these things come from? Akhlaq come from, and aqaid, and all these things come from. These are additional. You know why? Because what happened? Islam came to the people. Those who were good accepted it. But there were some, you know, hard-headed ones also. They said, why them? Why Allah? They started arguing. So then what happened? Now for those who are hard-headed, it had to be explained. Listen, you know why Allah? Because Tawheed, Usul of Tawheed, principles of Tawheed, logic and all that. It was explained to hard-headed people who couldn't understand it, who couldn't comprehend it. And so aqaid was made to explain to those people. But those who understand it, to them it's just love. I understood Allah, I love Him. I understood Ahlul Bayt, I love them. You see, love was the basis, and that was it. All these other things came to be explained so that others could also understand that. others could also understand that. And hence, that should be what our message should be to everyone. When we speak of Fatima, why is it so important? Give the news that we love Fatima, and that is the basis of our Islam. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. You know, I remember this one time, you know, this, there's all of opinions that are out there, especially here, because a lot of these kids go to universities and, you know, they hear things and this and that. So, and they also come to the majlis also sometimes, and when they come to the majlis, they have their opinion. So they will ask you some questions that, for example, if they ask like our normal people, they'll get upset. You know, so one of those guys, you know, he came to me after a speech and said, you know, Maulana, I'm tired of Islam. I'm tired of Islam, you know, all this violence and all this bloodshed and all this, you know, heartlessness and irrity and, you know, obstinacy. I'm just tired of Islam. He's a Muslim kid, our own kid, you know. Isn't that? Don't worry, it didn't happen in this community. Right? Happened somewhere else, you know. So he said, you know, I'm just tired of Islam. So obviously, you know, I wanted to. Now, how do you explain that? You know, you have to be smart in explaining that. You know, explain it to him, you know. Now, on the average, you know, you'll see that the normal response to that, you know, would range from, you know, astaghfirullah, you know, you have gone astray or something like that, to, you know, I want to see your mom and dad, you know, somewhere, you know. It couldn't go from here to there. But, you know, I said to him, you know what, you know, here, why don't you come on this side? I took him outside of the people, you know, and I told him, you know what, I'm also tired of Islam. I'm also tired of Islam. And he's like, really? You know? Yes, I'm also tired of that Islam that had put Imam Ali in handcuffs and dragged him to the court. I'm tired of that Islam that brought Hazrat Fatima to the court and put her in front of everyone. Yes, I'm also tired of that. I'll show you another Islam. Let me show you another Islam that will be more presentable for you. Let me introduce you to Fatima. I see, my friends, and obviously the thing went by and he understood the concept that, you know, that was that which is known as Islam is not Islam. This is Islam. Give that example that this is the Islam that we want. This is what we are looking for, that love, that there you see flexibility. Where is Islam like inflexible? Where is Islam inflexible? Look at the example of Ahlul Bayt. Tell me, where did they ever force anyone to do anything or compel anyone to do anything? You know, Fatima, when she was injured and she was in the house, you know, obviously the injury was such that it led to her death. It led to her death. And some of the women of Medina came to her. They came to her and they said, you know, that we're here for you. And Fatima recited a verse of the Quran for them. She recited a verse of the Quran for them. She said, "Anulzimukumuha ma laha karehun." You know this verse? Where did it come? And then you will see the ma'rifat of this verse. This verse came that she recited for her. Right? This verse came on the saying of Prophet Nuh. After he had preached to the people for hundreds of years, 900 years he preached to the people. After all that preaching, then when the people at the end, when he had enough and these people know that he was tired of these people in the sense that they did not want to accept anything that he said. When they came to him, he then pulled away from them and said, "Anulzimukumuha ma la karehun. Do you want me to compel you to accept something you don't like? You don't like it. I'm not going to compel you to do that." Just like those people came to Nuh and Nuh pulled away from them when these women of Medina came. Then Fatima pulled her chadar from them and said, "Do you want me to compel you to accept Ali, who you do not like? You don't like Ali. Why do you want me to compel you? I don't want to compel you. I don't want to force you to accept Ali." Where is this rigidity, my friends? This is Fatima. This is Fatima, my friends. Where is the heartlessness? No, there's this choice here, complete choice. It is your choice. We are not going to force anyone. This is Islam, my friend. Islam is flexible. This is Fatima. She's teaching this to us. Islam is flexible. Just let me ask you one question, and from there you can cry for Fatima. Just understand this, my friends. Do you think that Allah, really, do you think that Allah has sacrificed Fatima between the door and the wall for some small reason? That he had her crushed between these two so that he become shaheed through that for anything small? My friends, Fatima is a great sacrifice of Allah for a great purpose. That is Fatima's sacrifice. If you understood what Fatima's example is, Allah wanted Fatima to be introduced in a time when people who will hate Islam, who would have this negative view of Islam, give Fatima as the example so no one can view them in that way. This was Fatima's role. Allah kept Fatima's example for us so that we can show it to the world. Fatima is what's going to bring people. You don't need to do anything. Fatima herself has the force to pull people to come to her. She herself has that charisma. She herself has that magnetic appeal that you don't need to do anything. Just give Fatima to the people and you'll see how they will come. How they will come, my friends. You know, today, it was in the afternoon time, you know, when Fatima died. It was in the afternoon time. And the whole day, you see, Fatima was working in her home. She was sweeping her house in pain. You see, the pain of her wounds that she did not show Imam Ali, those wounds that were in her ribs, those broken ribs that she had, the bruised, broken ribs that she had, she never showed it to Imam Ali, you know. And so she was sweeping in the house, and someone came to Ali and said, "Ali, hurry up. Hurry up, see Fatima. In her illness, she is sweeping the house. She's going to die if she does this." So Ali came in the house and she saw Fatima sweeping. He saw Fatima holding the broom with one hand. And now you can cry. And the other hand was on her ribs. The other hand on her ribs. It was on her ribs. She was holding it in pain and she was sweeping. Ali said, "Fatima, stop this, Fatima. You're going to hurt yourself." Fatima said, "Ali, let me be. I feel happy doing this work for my children, for my house. This is your house. And I want to make sure that I do the work in your house so I get the blessings of this work." This was Fatima, my friend. "Ali, but I want to tell you something, Ali. That just come here so I can tell you this last few words of mine." She said, "Listen, Ali, make sure that you give my coffin and that you bury me and you give my ghusl at night. Do not give it in the day. Don't give it in the day, give it at night. You heard this, my friends, but one point I want to make through this so that you can shed your tears for Fatima and give condolences to the Prophet. You see, when I heard this, when I read this again today, I looked at it and I said, you know, we can understand why she wants to be buried at night, why she should give the coffin, because usually, you know, this is going to happen and she will be at night, that no one will see her. And so she wanted to be buried without these people knowing her. So we can understand that. But the ghusl, what I couldn't understand is, why did she say give the ghusl at night also? I could not understand that. Because the ghusl he could have given in the day, and then the rest he could have done at night. But why did Fatima wanted Ali to give ghusl at night also? Not just the dafn and kafan, but the ghusl. I was wondering that. And then, you know, when that realization came to me, I could not hold myself back from crying. Fatima wanted Ali to give the ghusl because of the wounds that she was hiding from Ali. She didn't want Ali to find out in the day, knowing that Ali would cry aloud and he would hit his head on the wall at the wounds of Fatima and the injuries of Fatima. Fatima said, Ali, give the ghusl at night so no one will hear you when you cry. This is Fatima. How much he cared. How much he wanted to make sure. This is Ali. When Ali was giving ghusl and he saw the wound, Ali was hitting his head on the wall. Asma, when she asked Ali, why are you crying so loud? She said, Fatima had these wounds that she did not show me, she was hiding from me. She didn't want me to get worried. Ali was crying that my wife that she has lost. Ali, when he went to her, when she was in her coffin, he went there and he said, you were a flower that Rasulullah left for me as an amana. And you have gone back to Allah. I have not done justice with you, that you were a flower that was given to me and I sent you back in this day. What will I say to Rasulullah when I see him? What will I say to Rasulullah? But I will say one thing, my friends. Fatima, we are crying for her today, but let me also give some musibat for Fatima. So today that we remember Fatima the second, and that we can remember her mourning. Maybe Fatima feels it right that if you cry for me, then also cry for my daughter Zainab. You know why? Because just like her mother Fatima, Zainab also went in the court. But there was a difference. When Fatima went, yes, she was injured. Yes, she was injured. But Asma was holding her hand. And Fatima was in hijab, in complete hijab. That chadar that Ayat Tathir had brought down was on the head of Fatima. But can I say this to Fatima? Fatima, how can we not cry for Zainab when Zainab went into the court? There is no hijab. Her hands are tied. The head of Hussein is in front of her. يا منقلب ينقلبون يا محمود بهك يا محمد يا علا بهك يا علي يا فاطر السماوات بهك يا فاطمة يا محسن بهك يا حسن يا قديم الأحسان بهك يا حسين. Allah, give us the tawfiq and the right path. Oh, give us the wisdom and understanding. Hasten the reappearance of our Imam. Make us his helper when he comes. Akhir da'wana. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Matam-e Hussain.